At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
All right, the UFC wraps up their July trip to Fight Island tomorrow night with a massive event headlined by a highly anticipated matchup in the UFC's middleweight division. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the MMA Fighting UFC on ESPN 14 preview show. I am Mike Heck, being joined by the great Jose Youngs. And Jose, it's finally here. Robert Whittaker versus Darren Till. This one has been on the books for some time now. It's one of those non-title fights that has been universally praised since it was announced. A big one at 185. What are your thoughts on this really good main event as we're getting closer and closer to seeing these guys throw fisticuffs tomorrow night?
Well, my first initial thought is thank God it didn't fall apart. I would have really liked to see them fight on the Dublin card like they were originally supposed to. I think both of their personalities and fighting styles and everything would have lent well to a sold out crowd in the Dublin arena. So disappointed for the Irish fans who have been just desperate for another MMA card. And that would have been a wild, wild scene, especially with these two. But really glad that it hasn't fallen apart. Like you said yourself, like this matchmaking was so universally praised, but it also just made sense considering where they are in the rankings. So it's one of those rare matchups where I think all of the stars aligned for a non-title fight to really grasp the attention of fight fans in a way few fights can.
I've said this several times at this point, so I don't want to beat a dead horse, but obviously this is a very important fight for Robert Whittaker, the former champion looking to bounce back from that loss to Israel Adesanya. But Darren Till's popularity just continues to rise. I mean, you could just see it in the numbers with everything he's done lately, including his media day scrum. People just really enjoy Darren Till right now. And like, if Whittaker wins, I like the plan sort of put together by Jack Hermanson after he beat Calvin Gastelum. But if Darren Till wins, that can shake things up in a big way, especially if he wins impressively. Honestly, Jose, I think if he goes out there and has a great performance tomorrow night, I think he's a shoo-in for the winner of the title fight between Adesanya and Paulo Costa. I think he jumps Cannon Air and gets a shot at the title. The UFC jumps on these, what have you done for me lately, red-hot guys. Darren Till fits that criteria. Do you agree with that sentiment after seeing Till in the numbers this week?
Yeah, I would say so. We all kind of know the UFC likes to want Darren Till to be champion. They make no mistake about that. Let's not forget he got a title shot after missing weight, saying he himself said, I probably don't deserve a title shot after missing weight in that performance. UFC gave him a title shot anyway, so it's no surprise. He's one of those fighters that the UFC really wants to put the rocket behind it. I don't want to say they hope he becomes champion, because Israel Adesanya is a superstar too, and Paulo Costa is also could be a big deal. But they need dance partners that can draw numbers too. They don't just want to go out like for as much as a phenomenal fighter as Jared Cannonier is, and how much I like to sing his praise as Captain Crystal and this and that, not going to draw the same amount of numbers as Darren Till or Paulo Costa will, or even Robert Whittaker, a rematch of Robert Whittaker would. So if Darren Till goes out there and just has a phenomenal performance, like we've seen him at welterweight, but we haven't seen him at middleweight yet, there's no question he skips the queue. But let's not forget, we all know Israel Adesanya and Paulo Costa was quote unquote announced, but the UFC it's not technically official yet. So if Darren Till goes out there and just like axe kicks Robert Whittaker in the first 2 minutes, gets on the mic and says, "Ah, I'll fight whoever." Like he himself says, he doesn't really care about money. He just wants to be the best and fight the best. And Israel Adesanya is the man right now. So if he goes out there and, like I said, just has an unreal performance against Robert Whittaker, which is not an easy path to victory whatsoever, it wouldn't surprise me if the UFC like really starts to look hard at just making Darren Till Israel Adesanya now, while Darren Till is red hot, considering I bet he asked for a much smaller purse than Paulo Costa, who's already out there on Twitter saying, like, "Oh, I want $3 million and I want to coach tough and this and that." So if it gets to a bidding war and Darren Till asks for less, like the UFC likes, wouldn't surprise if he skips Costa. But I don't even want to put that out into the ether because I really desperately need to see Adesanya and Paulo Costa throw down.
What I like about this fight in these two individuals is that both guys are very loose. They're very relaxed. They're having a good time with the media, no matter how awful some of the questions that have gone their way have been this week. It's just a really great matchup, Jose. How do you see this thing playing out tomorrow night?
Oh, man, it's hard to say just because we know what Darren Till can do at welterweight. We've seen him do it. But then, like, you see the fighters he just destroyed. Like he crushed Donald Cerrone, who he himself said wasn't really – he showed up and he got starched. But like Darren Till said, that was basically a light heavyweight fighting a lightweight. Like Darren Till was a massive welterweight, and Donald Cerrone is one of the smaller welterweights even now if he decides to fight. And then he goes out there and he beats Stephen Thompson, but I actually think Stephen Thompson won, and I think a lot of people think Stephen Thompson won. Gets tapped by Tyron Woodley and then gets KO'd by Jorge Masvidal. So he's beaten the guys at welterweight he should have beaten. And he squeaked past Stephen Thompson, and then he squeaked past Kelvin Gastelum. So we know what he can do against the lesser competition of welterweight. We know he can beat the best of the best at both welterweight and middleweight, but he hasn't gone out there and just absolutely flattened someone like we know he can. Robert Whittaker has fought in Yoel Romero for 10 rounds, so we all agree is the boogeyman of the middle of the division. Like, your body's not the same after fighting him. He's beaten Jacare. He's beaten Derek Brunson. He's beaten the who's who at middleweight. So you really – I have to favor Robert Whittaker just based on strength of schedule. He's fought in the best at middleweight. He's beaten the best in middleweight. He's beaten Yoel Romero twice. He's 2-0 against Yoel Romero, which is, to me, even more impressive than winning the title, especially going back-to-back. And, yes, you can argue he lost Yoel Romero the second time, but a win is a win, same as Darren Till against Stephen Thompson and same as Darren Till against Kelvin Gastelum. A win is a win. So I do favor Robert Whittaker. He clearly has the edge in wrestling. I mean, Darren Till himself said in media day, like, It's no secret he has the edge in wrestling. Darren Till says it's probably 50-50 in the grappling department, like in the jiu-jitsu department. Darren Till says he has the better striking. I don't know if that's true. Robert Whittaker has knocked out some pretty impressive strikers, and he's knocked out some pretty impressive grapplers. So I tend to favor Whittaker. I don't think it'll be a stoppage. I don't think it's going to be a razor-thin decision, but I think it's going to be a pretty good back-and-forth war. But I'm going to comfortably say Robert Whittaker should pull off the win in the main event.
I agree with you. But there's this feeling I have deep down inside, Jose, that these two guys are going to get in the middle of the octagon and they're going to swing for the fences. I don't know why I feel that way. I have like no proof of this happening, but I feel like that's what we're going to see tomorrow night. I think both these guys are just going to go in and headhunt, and then someone's going to get their hand raised. I don't see this fight getting out of the second round. That's just the feeling I have. But if it goes the distance and these guys have just a technical masterpiece of a fight, that would not surprise me either.
Yeah, and Robert Whittaker is one of those strikers that he picks his shots. He's not throwing punches for no reason. Like, yeah, he gets into these wars against Yoel Romero, but that's not like saying he went back and forth. That's like he got punched hard by Yoel Romero once, and it turned into a war because he went into survival mode for a while. And then the Derek Brunson fight, Derek Brunson just acted a fool and ran out there with his head chin wide up in the air. So he's beaten good guys, but he's beaten them picking his shots like and he's not he I'm not saying he was a counter striker, but he saw openings going forward and took advantage of them. Darren Till can be very much a counterpoint striker, a counter striker, where he waits for his opponents to make a mistake and then he capitalized, did that against Donald Cerrone, where he hurts you and then he backs you into the fence and then just destroys you. But he also has been left himself open to those shots a la Tyron Woodley, where he did that jab, and then when he like pulled back for the uppercut, that split second window, Tyron Woodley took advantage and just crushed him and then took advantage and tapped him. So if Robert Whittaker continues to do what he does and take advantage of openings his opponents leave, I could see him pulling off the stoppage win, but I hope not. I'm not saying hopefully, but I think Darren Till has had enough time to close those gaps. So I don't know if this will be a stoppage, but I think it'll be a very high level martial arts competition.
Either way, I think fans are going to be happy with no matter how this fight goes. The 100%. Co-main event is a fight that you've been very excited about since it was announced. The trilogy fight between Mauricio Shogun Hua and Antonio Rogério Nogueira. It's Little Nog's final fight of his career, taking on the former light heavyweight champion. This is a nostalgia fight personified in the co-main event spot. What are you going to be looking for when these two legends throw down in the octagon tomorrow night?
Well, it has to be Little Nog's last fight. I mean, it's people are saying, like, why is this fight happening? Why is this now? Like, who do you want them to fight? Like, you want to throw Shogun out there to, like, the best of the best in middleweight? I mean, light heavyweight. You want to throw Little Nog out there? Like, we saw what happened when he fought Anthony Johnson, when Little Nog was on that kind of run for a little bit where he strung together a few wins and they toss him in against Anthony Johnson. He loses in like 50 seconds in violent fashion. Like, who do you want these two to fight? I think this is a phenomenal matchmaking. It's a trilogy fight. They both have respect. They're both icons in Brazil. This is Lil Nog's last fight. He's going out there against a rival that he has deep respect for. So it's the last time we will ever see a Nogueira brother lace up the 4 ounce gloves, unless one of them decides to come out of retirement, which I don't see happening. So I'm very much looking forward to a contest between two former Pride fighters. Pride Never Die. Huge fan. Like I miss the days of the squared circle, the colored gloves, the yellow cards, the scoring system they have. So this is a huge nostalgic fight, and I'm looking forward to it. I don't think it's going to be the most technical match. Well, it could be, but I don't think someone's going to go to sleep in this fight whatsoever. But yeah, I'm looking forward to two icons of the sport going out there.
People forget when it comes to Shogun that he's only lost one fight in his last six. He's got wins over Corey Anderson during this stretch. He's got knockout wins over Tyson Pedro and John Vellante. Yeah, he had the split draw with Paul Craig in his last fight, but Shogun is still a very tough out at 205 right now. Like, when Daniel Cormier was the light heavyweight champion, there was a chance he was going to defend the title against Shogun Hua. Like, this guy is not, like, getting crushed in all of his fights. He's actually in a pretty good run right now, is he not?
And let's not forget, his KO loss to Ovince St. Preux, it was 30 seconds, but that was just, he just left his head out there. Like, he doesn't do that. That fight may be different, but there's no way to know. That fight's fine. I think they tried to book that fight a few times, and it's fallen apart. So if he doesn't make a mistake against OSP, that could be a different fight. But at the end, OSP got like a 30-second knockout, so what you going to do? And then the Dan Henderson fight, that was another back-and-forth battle before he just got punched in the head and then couldn't go anymore. So Shogun has been proven that you land one key punch, that's a wrap, like Anthony Smith, OSP, Dan Henderson. But then he can also go into these battles and crush you, like the John Vellantes, the Tyson Pedros, even the James Tahuna fight that was in Brisbane back in the day. So never count Shogun out, especially against Little Nog. But again, this is, I don't think he's going to be fighting for the title anytime soon, but he seems to be on one of those runs like Jim Miller, where all of a sudden Jim Miller has like 3 or 4 wins in a row, and you're like, what the hell? Like, do we give him a top 15 guy? Do we just keep him on this Legends run? Is he actually a gatekeeper? Like, but if Shogun keeps winning, maybe we can have that conversation, but I don't think he's fighting for a title anytime soon.
I always like to look at the first fight of the night to see how it stacks up. And I have to say, this one works for me. You mentioned it yourself, Nathaniel Wood versus John Cassidy. I think Wood is, you know, a very bright star, just like Pete pointed out many, many times on the A side and other shows. This guy's got a ton of potential at 135. He lost to John Dotson. It's very tough to look good against that guy. And Castaneda is a super legit guy, 135 too. He's fought in the Contender Series, former Combate America's Bantamweight Champion. He's a finisher. And what's really interesting about John Castaneda is that he probably could have gotten this opportunity a long time ago at the UFC, but he admits that he wasn't in the best place mentally to make the most out of that opportunity. He seems to be in a great place now to step in on short notice, but it's not really an off-the-couch situation for him. John knew a call might come in these crazy times. He told me last week on What the Heck that he's essentially had a 9-week training camp under his belt in preparation for getting a call. And obviously Nathaniel Wood's an exciting guy looking to bounce back from having an 8-fight winning streak snapped. And you know, these two guys are going to get after it to kick this fight card off. I'm looking forward to that. And then Khamzat Chimaev coming back 10 days after that John Phillips fight to face Rhys McKee down a weight class at 170. He's such an animal.
I'm glad you brought up Rhys too, because Rhys is an absolute animal too. I think he's on like a 3-fight win streak down in Cage Warriors, like all stoppage wins. And Pizza Carroll, his interview interviewed him on Eurobash a few times, I think so. It's one of those fights, like, I love this fight as like a martial arts competition. I wish they weren't fighting each other, because these are two like the definition of like blue chip prospects. Like Kazmat Shemaev and Rhys McKee are gonna, like, I don't want to say they're future contenders yet, but these are two names that people have had circled for a long time as future like top 15 welterweight. So I wish they weren't fighting each other so early in their careers, because I feel like this would be for all we know, whoever loses this fight, like down the road, that rematch, like it wouldn't surprise me if it's a co-main or main event for a big fight night once this pandemic ends down in Europe.
Yeah, Rhys McKee, we've been waiting for this debut to happen for a while now, and then he gets Shemaev.
He got a rough fight for his first fight. It reminds me of when Holloway fought McGregor. I was like, God, I wish these two weren't fighting each other, because I think Max Holloway was such a legit prospect back then, and Conor McGregor was Conor McGregor. And then, of course, Max Holloway was filling in for short notice, but I was like, this fight could happen in like 4 or 5 years from now. It could be just the biggest deal in the world, and it could have been if they ever ran it back. But pay attention. The loser of this fight, still pay attention to after this.
Absolutely. A lot of action ahead of us tomorrow night in Abu Dhabi. And of course, we'll have you covered during and after the event. So keep it locked in on MMAfighting.com. Brazilian beast Guilherme Cruz is on Fight Island with just outstanding coverage, great video content. Basically, we are your one-stop shop for this event and future events as well. So for Jose Youngs, I am Mike Hack. Thanks for checking out the UFC on ESPN 14 preview show. We are out of here. Enjoy your coffee. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Black coffee.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.